Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Game Horizon After Hours podcast. This is episode 25 and recording on April 29th, 2014. This is Alex again, joined by Sean and Ted. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
How you doing?
So,
this is in my headphones. Why am I hearing myself? That is weird.
I don't know. That's like more like a technical local question. I don't hear my voice.
Or it could be, you know, the voices in my head.
Could be the voices in my head. Like you?
Yes.
Anyway, I see something now. So let us begin with my tirade. Can I begin with a tirade?
Yes, begin with a tirade.
You know, there's this big sale on PlayStation Network right now, the Golden Week sale.
Yes.
Can't buy any of it because I guess something related to this firmware 1.7 maintenance for PlayStation 4 makes it so I can't use my credit card. I don't understand why. I just used this card yesterday, and I am looking at a little notepad list of things I meant to buy, and there's like 15 games on it. I mean, come on. It's free money.
How about you, Sean? Have you tried yet?
I was going to buy the Ground Zero, the Metal Gear collection for Vita,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to do it from the app, and it wouldn't let me do it.
Oh,
so okay.
How interesting!
I'm after this, I'll buy them.
Okay.
You know, I figure, oh no, what am I going to do if I can't play the games for 24 hours? I have to buy them tomorrow. Is that the worst thing in the world? No.
Nope.
You know, just like the time I waited a week before my the big part, the reason is, I said I was going to do it. I now have a PlayStation credit card.
Yes.
It came yesterday. I got Octodad in time.
Wow. This is impressive, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
Did anyone pick up Child of Light?
I did.
I did not, and it's on my list, and I can't download it.
I picked it up. I just haven't played it yet.
You didn't pre-order?
I did pre-order.
Both of you jerks pre-ordered!
Of course.
Oh my god!
We got smart. We want the bonus shit. Or at least, yeah. Well, I didn't really pre-order because of the bonus shit. I figured, you know, like, I'm gonna get the game anyway. And unless they make, like, a super-duper deluxe edition, which, by the way, we didn't get in the U.S. Thanks, Europe. I was like, let's pre-order it. Fuck it.
So, we got a game. Mm-hmm. You know, Child of Light seems to be getting some really high praise.
Yeah, well, I have an opinion on that. Like, I played it like about a couple hours, but I'll share that later on. But so Ted, when you're not dealing with this shit, what have you been playing?
I have been touching two new free-to-play titles on PlayStation platforms.
Jesus,
I haven't spent a dime on them, and I don't know if I'm going to.
Which are?
One is Soul Calibur Lost Swords on PlayStation 3.
Oh, that.
Mm-hmm. It is a single-player-only game, so that's interesting.
A single-player fighting game.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Now, I have to ask you, the PSP one that they released, that actually had some multiplayer elements, right?
Yeah, it was just, all the PSP version was a port of Soul Calibur 4, minus the Star Wars characters, plus Kratos.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't sound... Well, yeah, because, I mean, I thought that when they released it on the PSP that the chance of having, like, multiplayer or not was going to be slim. But when I heard about this particular one, it was like, you know, like, free-to-play single-player game? That just sounded really odd. Especially for a fighting game.
Well, I could tell you more about it, but I haven't gotten very far because every so often you're playing, it'll give you a crash 2005 error and dump you back to the title screen.
No, oh,
I guess the joke is 2005 is when they released Soul Calibur 3, so I guess that's why it's crashing.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, so what's the other free-to-play game?
It is Destiny of Spirits for the Vita.
What is this again?
So this is a free-to-play game where you summon spirits based on folklore. And they have elements that beat some and lose to others. And some are rarer than others, and you can collect them.
Is this a card game?
No, not a card game. Like, right now, one of my more powerful spirits is one of the characters from Gravity Rush.
Okay.
Because there's a event going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, and it's location-based, so I started in California, and I'm currently traveling into northern Canada to try to fight a raid boss.
Mm-hmm.
As you travel, like, you can also, it uses GPS, so you can hunt for spirits in real life.
Oh, geez. Okay.
It's boring, but one of the things is they've had severe maintenance over the past week, so they're gifting everybody a lot of premium currency.
Well, that's nice.
And I wasn't even affected by it, because the one day I couldn't play was the one day they had maintenance, so I'm going to get, I think it's like $10, $15 worth of currency here, so I can't complain.
Yeah, good enough. So, which one are you liking more than the other, I guess is the question?
Destiny of Spirits is a game you can actually play, so I'm going to have to say Destiny of Spirits by default. Soul Calibur Lost Swords has way too many server issues.
Why do you need to connect to the server in order to, like, play a single-player game?
Oh, Alex, free-to-play. Haven't you thought about how a free-to-play game mechanic would work?
Well, you didn't really explain how the free-to-play aspect of this works.
I didn't, because it's very hard. It's free to... I would call it a free to get, like, disconnected,
like,
from the server.
Does each punch, like, take one energy?
No, but every time you enter a mission, it costs energy, and, you know, when you run out, you either wait or you can use a potion.
Oh, bullshit.
You know where that's going, so I won't get into it. But one of the things is you only get one life bar for a series of three or four fights,
mm-hmm.
but your life bar's kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, elements like fire beats wind, and wind beats water, and weapons can, and armor can have elements.
Right.
But the point is if you're really good with Mitsurugi, it just doesn't matter, because all your combos still work.
Mm-hmm.
Except for they simplified the moves. You can't press... horizontal and vertical slash anymore for a move, because that doesn't do anything anymore unless you have a super bar built.
I see.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay. That's interesting. I guess that's interesting.
It's free. I don't know.
It's free. If you want to play, like, Soul Calibur from time to time, instead of actually buying Soul Calibur 5, which is, what is it, $5 for PlayStation Plus right now?
Five large. That's right.
Yep. Well, I guess you have that. And, you know, but no multiplayer. Absolutely none.
No. None. Yep. It's, but now that I'm thinking about other games I've played, oh yeah. I tried out Dead Nation on the Vita.
And how is that?
Visually it's a little worse, but honestly the screen's easier to see because it doesn't do the make sure your brightness is turned to the right level because, you know.
One brightness.
Well, no, you can adjust the brightness on the thing, but you're guaranteed a good experience, you know, at whatever level you play at.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep your fingers accurate on the thumbsticks if you're charging up a shot,
mm-hmm.
because if your finger slips just a little bit, the sticks have a lot less throw because it's portable. So, I mean, you know, you shutter it and, oh, you've just shot off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I have a grip accessory which I can dock the Vita into. Makes it easier to hold.
Yeah.
I can't play shooters like Killzone without the cradle.
Interesting. I think you showed me that a while back.
Yeah, because there's more to hold and the grips get into your palms,
mm-hmm.
your thumbs have less give, so your thumbs are more extended, so it's easier to get finite movements in Killzone.
Okay.
And now I'm remembering I actually played a match of Killzone because with a new update, there's stuff going on. You know, I played some bot match, which was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But online is still actually alive. I got some full games going on.
Well, I can imagine, like, having, like, a, you know, like, a portable first-person shooter game that's actually pretty good. I mean, I would imagine a lot of people would want to play it a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised they put out, an update for it a couple of weeks ago. The game is more than 6 months old. It's 8 months old now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's one more update coming.
And then that's it?
Yeah, but can you really fault them these days? If a game gets, like, more than 6 months of support, it's like, give them a round of applause.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're, like, alternating between, like, another game, you know, like, another company is building another game within that franchise, kind of like Call of Duty and stuff.
Yeah, but Call of Duty's so planned out, because you know that there's going to be a season pass, and they're going to put four updates spread out over the course of a year, so.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the next game comes out, the old game ceases to exist, you know what I mean?
That's true.
I mean, I know people still play it online. You can look at the statistics, but the marketing is dead.
Mm-hmm.
They can't get any more money out of you. They need another way to get more money out of you.
Yep, which is to buy a new game.
That's why more people want to do free-to-play.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anything else?
Nothing that comes to mind. I'm drawing blanks. I think I booted up a couple classic shooters on various systems because I had an itch to play. You remember Raiden?
Yes.
I had an itch to play the copies of Raiden. I have Raiden 3 on my PS3 and Raiden 4 and Raiden Fighters Aces. It's like, man, I just want a game where it's really hard to not die.
Why don't you just get like the cave shooters on the Android? Didn't they release them?
No, I don't want to die. I don't want to not die that bad, you know.
There's
Raiden, and then there's cave shooters. Cave shooters are like this whole other universe where there are bullets, and then sometimes there isn't a bullet. And where there isn't a bullet is where you need to be.
I did pretty decent on those cave shooters.
Swear to God, it's actually like a puzzle game. It might as well be Lolo's Adventure with fucking bullets everywhere or something. I don't know. Kids remember Lolo's Adventure? Okay. Before I hand it over to Sean, I like to screw around with the kids at the arcade on Thursdays when I go to play the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale event and Killer Instinct. And I was like, this kid was like, yeah, the Wii U is going to be the best system for Watch Dogs. I'm like, wow. Yeah, because it has the most bits. Because you know how many bits it has, but nobody knows how many bits the PlayStation 4 has. I said, yeah, that's why the 3DO is the best system back in the day. And, you know, we're having fun. And he looks at me, he's like, what's the 3DO?
Ha, ha, ha. Amazing.
So then I got really mad. I think I trolled him some more, but how can you not know what the 3DO was?
I don't know.
It played video CDs.
It did.
It had
Naughty Dog's first game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way of the Warrior.
That was on Jaguar.
Wait, no, something else.
Way of the Warrior was on Jaguar. That was the one game worth owning on Jaguar.
Well, there was something else that they released on the 3DO. I forgot what it was.
I live in a world where the Jaguar may or may not have existed.
I don't
know what was on the Jaguar. I think I held a Jaguar controller once.
Okay.
But I may have been making up the memory in my mind.
You probably are. No, that's, Way of the Warriors for the 3DO, you dumb son of a bitch.
Then what the hell is the game on Jaguar that was like... Also a fighting game, and that had the guy with the kilt, or was that also Way of the Warrior?
Nope. Never released on Jaguar. You're wrong, sir.
I'm wrong.
Yes.
Huh.
Wikipedia proves it. 1994, 3DO, won Best Animation Award. What? Okay, I guess they won an award, so I guess they're legit. And somehow, what? They made, like, Rings of Power for the Genesis.
Is that a Sonic game?
No.
So if it's a ring, it has nothing to do with Sonic. Came out on the Genesis, man. No.
It's like a it's by EA, so that's odd. Anyways.
All I got.
Yeah. So Sean, how about you? What have you been playing?
I played Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
Ooh, what did you think?
I think that is a bullshit demo cash grab. it is exactly what I thought it was going to be. It's fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. And the fact that people bought that and the fact that Konami packaged that and sold that to Metal Gear fans says that they have contempt for them because that was bullshit. It lacks so much of what makes Metal Gear good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It plays fine. It's a demo. It's fucking demo.
Well, outside of the fact that they packaged it and, you know, like, and sold it to people and stuff, what did you think of the changes in the gameplay and, you know,
there's a couple of things I don't like. I don't, I'm pretty sure Grounds, I can't remember because it's been a long time and I have so many things jumbled in my head with Metal Gear, but in Metal Gear Solid 3, they had some kind of camouflage suit, right? It wasn't as advanced as the one in Sons of the, Guns of the Patriots, but it was that's not there. So you can't blend into anything. So stealth is a lot harder. Right. They can see you pretty well. I had to restart. I was trying to go completely stealth, and then I just got tired of being spotted. So I just started shooting people in the face. I didn't kill that many people. On my first playthrough, it took me about an hour and 41 minutes, and that was with sitting idle a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would sit in a bush and just wait for them to not look at me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, you know, however long that added up, probably about an hour and 20 minutes it took me to beat the main chunk of stuff. And I got a B rank, which That's isn't bad. Good. I think it's B, A, and then S.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I did too bad. Then I started messing around with the side ops. And the side ops are really just minuscule little things they want you to do in the same environment. Like, mm-hmm. for example, one of them was fun because it was all action. You were in a helicopter and you were shooting out dudes. And yeah. and for some reason, you get there's a no-kill option in that. But all you have is a trank gun,
mm-hmm.
like a trank pistol. So I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, when I was done, I was like, that's fine. That shouldn't have been more than $10 to $15.
Right. Well, like, did you actually play the side op where it was like completely in daytime and stuff? Like, did that actually...
Yeah, yeah. The side op I did was one of the ones I did, you had to take out these two Marines
mm-hmm.
who were like assassins. You know, they were like kind of moonlighting as assassins while they were Marines.
Right.
And so it just wound up being like, you know, that was, you know, it was fine. It was in daytime, you know, which made it a lot easier for you to get spotted.
Okay, so I don't know, so man. There was a difference between the nighttime mission and then the daytime
mission. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't know, like, I still want to play Phantom Pain because it's going to be a more fleshed out Metal Gear game and it's probably going to have the crazy that I like in Metal Gear.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't have very much crazy. And it absolutely feels like this is the beginning of the game. And they cut off mm-hmm. the beginning of the game and packaged it and sold it to yeah. everybody. And, like, I'm offended that this thing exists. And I don't get offended by much.
Yeah.
I'm offended that this exists.
I mean, it is kind of ridiculous that you can clear it really fucking fast. Like, I've seen
you can clear it in 8 minutes.
Yeah. And probably even shorter than that. Because, like, I've seen, like, some speed runs. People are trying to break the fucking game, like, as fast as they can.
Well, like, it makes sense because there's really... I mean, it's not that big of a map.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go downhill... rescue one person and climb up the hill and go rescue the other person. Mm-hmm. And then that's the end of the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, I mean, there's stuff with the, I didn't even, you know, and the funny thing is the audio tape that everyone's talking about. That's like, oh my God, the sexual blah, 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 assault. I didn't even listen to it. So it's not even there if you don't want to get it. Like,
mm-hmm.
so the fact that like, there's some allusion to it in at the end cutscene,
mm-hmm.
but it's like, I think people are overreacting.
I heard it, like, you know, when I was playing it and stuff, and I'm like, all right, well, that's obviously part of the storyline and stuff, and it is a mature game, you know? At least they're not showing it, you know? It's just an audio tape. It's not a big deal to me. Like, in fact, like, it serves more as a teaser to what actually happened and what's gonna happen in Phantom Pain as opposed to, like, oh, my gosh, this is so... I don't know. I'm like, dude... Remember, this is Kojima we're talking about here. The dude is kind of, you know, out there. Remember. So.
Yep. And then that was it. I played some more Blood Omen on my Vita.
How was Persona 4? How's progress?
I haven't played. I told you I was going to take a break and play Blood Omen.
Okay.
Because I got stuck on the 8-bit boss.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so I have been playing LEGO Marvel Super Heroes still. That's still a pretty good game. I mean, again, it's one of those games where if you got it on the PlayStation sale, like I think it was like last week, it's a pretty decent game. It's a good like co-op game and whatnot. And then Disney Magical World, haven't picked that up for about a week. That's kind of interesting, but it's good. It's still pretty decent. It's definitely a lot less of a pain in the fucking ass as, like, you know, Animal Crossing, thank goodness. So I can always pick it up and not have to worry about, like, pulling weeds all over my fucking town. Because that's exactly probably what happened in, like, Animal Crossing right now. And then, of course, Child of Light. So I played that for about 2-3 hours. And as far as that game goes, it's pretty interesting. It has this very interesting mechanic where you are controlling this kind of Firefly, and what you can do is kind of do like the Persona thing where you can kind of like try to get a surprise attack on an enemy, but instead of sneaking behind them or not just sneaking behind them, you can actually flash them with the Firefly and then kind of sit right next to them and then initiate battle. And that's how you get the surprise, you know, like, you know, attack kind of thing. But enemies can still, you know, like kind of overpower you and ambush you and stuff. The battle system is interesting. So everybody is on the same kind of active time battle timeline. And so what happens is at the end of the timeline, there's this kind of red area. And on the first part of the red area, that's where you actually input your commands. And it actually takes a certain amount of time to be able to execute them. But what will happen is your enemies have the same kind of... They use the same kind of maneuvers as well. So, for example, if it takes an enemy a longer time to make their attack, and your attack is a lot faster than theirs, you can actually prevent them from attacking, regardless of the fact that it's, you know, a regular physical attack or a magic attack or some sort of buff. You can actually prevent them from actually casting the spell or doing whatever action. And that's something that I'm still kind of trying to get a grips of, you know, in terms of the battle system. So, and then the mechanic where you have the Firefly and you can kind of like fly to the enemies and stuff and blind them, that actually also exists in the battle as well. And that actually slows down their speed. But the thing is, like, the Firefly has a very kind of, you know, finite amount of energy, I guess. And there's like these little kind of spores that are kind of similar to like the, you know, kind of like the plants that you kind of pop up in Rayman, where they just kind of pop up and they make this kind of swirly pattern, and then you have to follow the pattern, and then you get that. That's kind of like how you get the energy back for that, you know, for the Firefly. So overall, I mean, it looks fucking great. Like, I was playing it on the Vita, you know, like for a little bit, and then I played it on the PS4, you know.
Is it crossplay? Is it crossbuy?
It is not crossbuy. This, I was playing it through remote play.
Okay.
So, I don't think there is a Vita version.
Okay. There's a PS3 and a PS4 version.
I always forget about remote play for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was different circumstance today, because my roommate was like playing was watching something on the TV, and I was like, hey, I bet you that my Child of Light's pretty much downloaded, which it was like 4 hours ago. So I just pretty much booted it up on my Vita and I started playing it. And, you know, we were like, just, you know, she was watching TV, I was like, you know, playing it on my Vita. I'm like, yay, I can actually play it. So that's Child of Light. I'm curious to hear like what you guys will think about it once you guys like actually get to play it and stuff. So, but it is pretty. It is UB art. So, I've already faced maybe 2 bosses so far. So I'm just kind of grinding right now. And, they have this kind of somewhat pseudo sphere grid system, but a lot less flexible, you know, like each character has a different grid, for the lack of a better term. So, I actually want to get as many of those abilities as possible. Like, you basically get 1 ability point per level. So I would imagine, depending on how high of a level you can get, you can definitely learn a whole bunch of abilities. And I heard I saw from a review that you can new game plus this. So I don't know whether or not your stats carries over, but yeah. One thing of note, I did try it on hard mode. It's pretty damn tricky, because like I mentioned, you need to learn how to be able to cancel like enemy attacks, and that's something that I haven't like grasped yet and stuff. So so that's Child of Light, and let me see, and that's pretty much all I've been playing. Oh well, I guess I'm playing Carcassonne on iOS, but you guys don't want to fucking hear about that shit.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so let's get into the news, which, oh boy, what thin news we have this week compared to, the excitement the past few weeks.
I'd like to say that last week we talked about how all of the PS1 games and PSP games were suddenly backwards compatible. And I said this had to be done on purpose. And, nope, it's been pulled, and if you got in while the getting was good, then good for you. Good for you,
like
Sean, for
Blood
getting...
Omen.
Yeah, Blood Omen, you can't even back that up and restore it from a PS3, so...
Really?
Nope.
Wow, that sucks. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm never deleting that from my...
You can't!
My card.
You literally can't.
You really can't?
You cannot re-download it.
You mean re-download it. We're talking about deleting it. Like, he's not going to delete it ever. Ever.
Yeah. My Crash and Spyro games are safe as well, so... and there's been no comment from Sony, and likely there will never be comment from Sony.
Hmm. That's surprising, given how open they are lately.
It's very likely that when Shu Yoshida was talking about it, he did not know that this was not on purpose, you know?
Oh.
It's possible, you know, he might be that far removed from that part of the business. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I mean, it got a lot of... people bought it, right? I mean, those games.
Yeah, people bought it, and people are pissed because they cannot access that shit.
Yeah, anymore. Ugh. So lame. Well, at least you got your Blood Omen.
At least I got my Blood Omen.
That's all that fucking matters. All right, so let's just kind of hammer down this list. Destiny is three-player maximum in your party in all modes, including quote-unquote adversarial. Now, okay, so... my understanding of Destiny is that even though there is a three-player maximum in your party, that doesn't stop you from actually, like, teaming up with other parties or squads. Let's put it that way, because
yeah,
party makes it seem
if
like...
if you remember the E3 event, there's, like, a raid boss, like, this big old ship came in, and all these other people were there, and it was like, whoa, let's all take out that thing, and everyone's like, whoa, let's do it. And they're like,
yeah, but
and
I'm
the
not,
demo ended.
I'm not entirely sure how that works, because... even if you have 3v3, like, say the three of us are playing it, and then another group of three people go into the same area we're going into, and they're going to fight, you know what I mean? Like, how does that work? Like, or does it only work on instance bosses and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
Or the better question is, what is the importance of partying versus just being our individual selves and just going into a dungeon individually? You know, like, is there instinct? Because the one thing that I feel is not clear yet is that whether or not there's instancing of dungeons, right? Because, I mean, right now, like, they're touting this as this huge thing where you can kind of just encounter other people on the way, blah, 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 blah. So that's fine and dandy. But first of all, so what's the meaning of a squad or a party in this? And if you're going to be just three people going into a dungeon, that's kind of small. And the other question is, are you allowed to create multiple squadrons, like multiple teams of squads? So, for example, you may only be three people in your squad, but if you're tied with another squad, you know, like, you guys can all communicate in the same channel or something like that. Because I would imagine they would have some sort of contingency, because, you know, this is a kind of game that would be very conducive to clan support, you know? Like, especially since it's supposed to be a pseudo MMO sort of thing, you know? But really, like, you know, there's still a lot of questions that we don't know about Destiny. I mean, again, this, you know, there doesn't seem to be a traditional, you know, like, MMO trinity here, where it's like healer, tank, you know, DPS. So, you know, like, because we only have really three classes. So we're going to hopefully, like, know more once E3 comes around, so... but they're trickling information.
It's going to be playable at E3.
Yeah. God damn it. But I will have it. I will have it this year. I'll definitely play it. It's one of the games I'm looking forward to. But we'll definitely, like, hear a lot more from this game. I mean, they just launched their new website, so the trickle of information has begun. You know, because I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was saying, like, I'm not too interested in it yet. And I'm like, watch, they're going to start trickling information. And then last week, you know, they did the whole, hey, we have this website now, and all that stuff. A little disappointed that there's only three classes, but whatever. They said they have, like, 10 years to work on this. So, good old Nintendo, skipping E3 press conferences yet again. So,
well, that's funny, so are we.
But I'm Tish. although this is something that they've done for two straight years now, and I guess the whole Nintendo Direct thing has been, you know, I guess been successful for them. I mean,
no, it hasn't been successful for them. Let me put it this way. Name one thing Nintendo announced at this year's E3 Nintendo Direct. Name one.
At this year's?
Yeah, what they did at E3 2013. Last year.
Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Was that announced there?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. You win.
Well, so much for that idea. But, I mean...
remember, I don't know if you remember, because remember everybody was looking forward to it, and they thought it was going to be a new Metroid, and then it was announced as it was Donkey Kong, and everyone was like, ah, boo. And then they had it playable at the E3.
Mm-hmm.
At the show. And didn't they announce Super Mario World 3D there, too? 3D Land or
they,
3D World?
They did. Super Mario 3D World was announced there. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah. That's two. I don't even like Nintendo, just so you know.
And he knows more. And he remembers. Oh, geez. Yeah, the whole direction of Nintendo is just bothering me. Like, you know, I've been reading a lot of articles lately about how they're trying to change their direction of their company, saying, like, entertainment shouldn't just be video games, and I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, you should have fun, like, working out, and I'm like, oh no, you guys are gonna be those guys. You're gonna be those guys in the fucking infomercials. Jesus Christ.
I feel bad for Nintendo fans. Like, I really legit do. Like, it's getting to the point where they're, like, they can't... The veil of delusion cannot be holding up, like, at this point. I mean, it's just bad. Like just... I mean, I'm not going to speculate as to what Nintendo should do, because, honestly, I don't even care. But I just feel bad when it's like, oh, Smash Brothers. Oh, wait, now 3DS is getting Smash Brothers. Before the Wii U. It's like, and Mario Kart, so that means between Mario Kart and whenever the hell Smash Brothers comes out, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could argue with you, but you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. My whole speculation as to why Smash Brothers 3DS is coming is because they're going to funnel in some of that money that they get from the 3DS version down to the Wii U to finish it.
Oh, wait, I just remembered a game. Tomodachi Life.
Okay.
What?
You said there's nothing coming out between Mario Kart and Smash, and I was trying to think of something, and then I remembered Tomodachi Life.
That's 3DS, right?
Yeah, that's that 3DS game that's like Animal Crossing on PCP.
Yes.
Is it coming out to the Wii U, though?
No, it's just 3DS.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Wii U has nothing.
Nope.
Wait, maybe Watch Dogs.
Wait. Watch Dogs, I
guess. I know. Nope. Skylanders.
Well, I guess that's
reliable. Oh, there's new Skylanders.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Disney Infinity 2.
Which I guess there's like a thing happening this Thursday or tomorrow.
I am reaching deep down for this. I am basically bullshitting both of you.
Yeah, totally.
They announced the Star Wars cast. I just want to say that today.
That's what we're going to be talking about next. but bottom line, you know, I got super stoked when they fucking announced the Star Wars cast. I was like, holy shit. The fact that the original three was going to be in part 7 was probably one of the worst kept secrets in the movie, for this fucking movie. Everybody pretty much knew. Like, I think it was like Carrie Fisher and like Mark Hamill was pretty much like spouting, oh yeah, we don't have a contract, but yeah, we've been talking. And I'm like, oh Jesus Christ. I mean, the only person who really kept his mouth shut was like Harrison Ford, but even then, like, during the past few weeks, like, him and Hamill and Fisher were just like, hey, by the way, director's chair, seeing in London. Gee, I wonder what that's gonna be for.
Well, Harrison Ford has worked in this town long enough to know he's keeping his mouth shut. Look what happened to Bryan Singer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you knew. Yeah, I mean, as far as Harrison Ford, I mean, he knows his shit. But seeing the first reading, like the photo that they released for the press release, I was like, that's insane. Like, I'm like looking at that cast and stuff, and somebody, you know, was speculating that, you know, like, people who were going to show up in the most scenes were basically grouped together, which, you know, pure speculation, but still, it's kind of difficult not to get excited for this, because, you know.
Well, that's funny, because Luke Skywalker and Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford were on complete opposite ends of the table, of the room.
Yeah.
So, that means they have no scenes together.
Yeah, which is kind of weird if you think about it, but. Anyways.
And that means Harrison Ford has the most scenes because he was sitting right next to J.J. Abrams.
And Lawrence Kasdan, for that matter.
The funny thing is that when they announced the cast, the first, like, four or five names, everyone's like, who? Who? I don't know who these people are. I've never heard of them. I'm like, yeah, back in 1977, no one knew who the fuck Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, or Harrison Ford were either.
Mm. Yep, that was the point.
Forget what Lucas did with the fucking new trilogy by loading it with name actors. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what it should have been in the first place, a bunch of nobodies that mm-hmm. nobody knows, so that you're like, you don't have anything invested other than just to watch the movie, you know?
Right.
So I'm very excited.
So, I mean, there are some named actors. I mean, Andy Serkis is there, and you've
got... No, I know, but I'm talking about the first four names were people that are relatively unknown.
Right, right, right. So, I mean, I guess the next question, the next thing that people get to look forward to is what the subtitle's going to be. Right?
I guess maybe they'll reveal that on May 4th.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this pretty much explains why Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher are showing up in Florida for the Star Wars weekends and stuff. So that's going to be rather interesting. So, because the first time I saw, you know, like, Mark Hamill's name pop up, and I'm like, wait, he hasn't shown up in, like, a Star Wars weekend in a long-ass fucking time. And I kind of feel bad, because Lando Calrissian is, you know, Billy Dee Williams is showing up, you know, for the Florida weekend. So I'm like, oh, he's not named.
He's on this season. He was on this season of Dancing with the Stars. He mm-hmm. can't move.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Like, he had two hip replacements.
Oh.
He can barely move.
Oh, my
now
gosh.
I feel just
he had to
bad.
Quit. He had to quit the show.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that.
Now I feel
he
really
didn't get voted
bad.
Off. He quit. The doctor told him he can't do it.
Yeah, he did it in he was going to do it in May, but yeah, he pulled out.
Like, give him a hug and bake him a muffin.
But
no, Dancing with the Stars, he's on it. He was on it.
Oh, he
danced 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. He danced for 2 weeks, and then the third week he said, I can't do this anymore.
Okay. Well, to that note, Lucasfilm officially declares that all Star Wars games are non-canon. So, Knights of the Old Republic? Nope.
Actually,
I never
all
thought
the
it
expanded
was. I don't understand why anyone thought it was.
All the expanded universe is non-canon, which means all the solos are dead.
Or never existed, for that matter.
I don't know. I just wanted to quote the line from the South Park movie when Mr. Garrison shouts, "All the Baldwins are dead."
Yeah, TIE Fighter, X-Wing, all those games doesn't really count at all. I mean, we know the expanded universe didn't count and stuff, and you know, and I didn't really think the Old Republic.
Jason
was
Solo
part of
never
it.
Turned to the dark side, and Tenel Ka never lost an arm, and Chewbacca never died.
And a lot of people like complained that the expanded universe is not fucking honored. I'm like, come on, how many fucking planet destroyers do you fucking need in like that entire goddamn series?
This here's the thing, I'm a Star Wars fan. I am a fan of the movies. Mm-hmm. I am a fan. I like the video games. They're fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't take them as anything other than glorified fan fiction. Mm-hmm. So when I hear people complaining about... They're just super nerds.
Mm-hmm.
That are... But it was never canon. And somebody said the words to me like, well, it's not officially canon. But that's what canon is.
Yeah.
It's official.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not officially canon, then it's not canon. Mm-hmm. And then therefore it's expendable. And it's just glorified fan fiction.
Right.
That's all it is. No matter how good the stories are, no matter how well written they are, no matter how much continuity they have in the books, the movies are canon.
Now, to be clear, it's the movies and the Clone Wars series.
Well, that's all part of the same thing to me.
Yeah.
It's because that was officially sanctioned by Lucasfilm and
mm-hmm.
and written by people that, you know what I mean? Like, it was
mm-hmm.
supervised by him. Like, the games are just like, he's just signed a check. Yeah, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, whatever. I think it's silly that anybody would get upset about this.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, we all know how awesome Shizor was as a fucking bad guy in Shadows of the Empire. That's a terrible game. All right. So, we're all good with the Star Wars shit. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make any of those Star Wars games terrible. I mean, I love
TIE
Fighter.
No, not at all. They're great games. Some of them are great games.
Yeah, KOTOR is fucking fantastic. I will, for you know, if they remade KOTOR again, I'd fucking play it in a heartbeat. But as it stands, you know, hey, it's their fucking property. They can do whatever they want with it. Moving along. I'm going to skip this and then come back to this.
We don't have that much time. So.
Major League Games, COD part of X Games. I mean, okay, yay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
MLG awesome.
Has that expansion thing going on. What is an esports?
I mean, okay, so Major League Gaming is already its own thing, so it's now part of ESPN's X Games coverage?
Nah, it's more like, Oh, it's part of it? I thought you were talking about a merger or something. This is more of a strategic...
It's professional Call of Duty players will compete in the X Games medals for X Games medals in the inaugural MLG Games Invitational during the first ever X Games Austin this June in August, Texas.
For medals!
Just like,
you know, for some reason, it's the fact that it's going to be a medal which cracks me up. Now, that there are medals given out at, like, fighting game tournaments, I know it's done, you know, but for some reason, like, an X game, the X games are, like, they're somewhat legitimate, right? Like, I'm not, like...
Yeah, no, they are.
So,
a lot of...
So I wouldn't compare it to an Olympic medal, but it means something.
Well, here's the thing. Just think of the X Games as kind of like, I'm not saying Call of Duty, this will happen with Call of Duty, but a lot of people from the X Games who are popular from the X Games will get plucked into the Olympics. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
like Shaun White, you know what I mean? Like all that stuff, even sports, like sports that are popular in the X Games, they become part of the Olympics. So,
but
it's, you know, it's, there is a legitimacy to the X Games.
But if you're gonna win at the X Games at Call of Duty, where do you go? What are you gonna do?
The Olympics.
I don't know.
And,
like,
it's... and the Ukrainian team has been disqualified for using an improperly overclocked. Hold on, Rachel's yelling at things. Hold on, Rachel saw her own shadow and is freaking out and ruined my punchline about the Ukrainians and overclocked computers. Rachel!
I saw a spider.
Are you sure you saw a spider? Give it to me.
I mean, I mean, we have to...
Give it a kiss!
I don't have a lot of time for this, so...
Okay, so let's move on. So tomorrow, which is last week... Firmware 1.70 finally arrives for PS4, which has the preloads, the share factory, HDCP off, etc., and a whole bunch of other really neat shit. So
this is a huge update.
This is easily the biggest update since they launched.
One of the things that I really like was that you can control a lot more options now with regards to your DualShock 4, so you can use a touchpad for your keyboard. You can change the brightness of your light bar and the friends option thing, which is kind of neat. You know,
yeah,
like,
and
I
as a someone who's a really big fan of the Kinect voice commands, I was actually contemplating getting the PlayStation camera, and I looked at the voice commands that were available, and it's fine, mm-hmm. but it, you know, you can't go like PlayStation go to Netflix. Well, now you can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
They're adding app support for that. I'm really excited about Share Factory, which is the new app that allows much more robust sharing features. Mm-hmm. For example, you can record a commentary track over a video or even do picture-in-picture.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the ability to actually export these videos to
you can
USB.
And then once they're there, you can do whatever you want with them. So people have been asking about automatic upload to YouTube. They don't have that, but this is a close way to get there. You know, mm-hmm. you export it.
It's not automatic. It's just like an extra step.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is if you export it to USB, put it in your computer, and load it into an even more thorough, video editing feature, who knows what you're going to get, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's good enough right now for slightly above basic level. You'll also be able to change the limit of how much you're recording. It's defaulting to 15 minutes. And I don't know if that's going to go up or down or just down, but that's good.
That's still pretty good. I mean, if anything, the only thing that I wish that they would add in the future would be the ability to actually be able to manage your recordings a lot better. Because right now, like, I have so many games that it's recorded that I'm like, okay, this is going to eventually, you know, fill up my hard drive, so...
Well, now they're high-definition videos, too, so it makes it worse.
Yep, they are now up to 720p, and they will archive in Twitch or Ustream. There's actually a patch note, which is...
Is anyone using Ustream?
Yeah, mostly for the sex.
I kind of feel bad for Ustream.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
Twitch has one thing Ustream doesn't have.
Audience?
Annoying commands you can do in chat to make stupid heads pop up.
Can you really do that while you're on PlayStation, though?
No, on PlayStation you can't see it, but when you're in Twitch, if I type Kappa 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 Dan's game, you know, I'm going to get faces.
Ah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's important to me that I can act like a jackass, but have it sanctioned by an internet body. Another new feature for Japan is there's now a third streaming option for Japan.
Nico Nico?
Yes, Nico Nico, which has no foothold in America, and no one cares if you can stream to Nico Nico.
Mm-hmm. Still, good option.
Yeah, the Japanese will love it so they can type the letter W over all their stupid videos. That's a joke you'll only get if you've actually seen a Nico Nico video.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other stuff. Disable HDCP, which is good for the people that want to do professional streaming.
Or recording, for that matter. Right?
Yeah, that's really it. Oh, automatic pre-download. So now we're just like Steam.
Yep.
That's great.
If you pre-order a game, it'll actually be ready to go the moment it comes out, not, you know, when you're done downloading.
That is fucking fantastic.
Expect to see that with The Last of Us and whatever other games. I guess they're not going to do it for every game, so Last of Us, yes. Guilty Gear Xrd Sign, probably not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So unless anybody else has anything to add, I think that's pretty much it, right, guys?
There's also a Vita firmware update.
Well, it's just for compatibility, right?
Yeah, and then there's an update for the PlayStation app on your phone, which actually does quite a bit.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. Well, that about does it then for this episode of the Game Horizon After Hours podcast. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, what have you, email us at afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. And before we go, we do want to plug one very special podcast. Do you guys want to talk about this real quick?
Yes. Yeah, Sean, if you want to take it, since this is your idea.
Sure. So Ted and I are big wrestling fans, and now with the WWE Network, and we are all subscribers, I thought it would be fun if after every pay-per-view, Ted and I get together and talk about the pay-per-view and comment on the booking and the stupid shit that happens, if it was good, if it was bad. And what made me think about that was at WrestleMania when The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar. I felt like that could have been a really cool conversation between me and Ted, just mostly because I like to hear Ted's reaction to things. And so I said, all right, well, Ted, you want to do a podcast? And we're going to do it. It's only going to be once a month. It's going to go up the week after the pay-per-view. We're just going to get together and maybe shoot shit for an hour or so about what we just saw. So that will be coming up. Well, that will be actually up somewhere close to when you're listening to this, because the pay-per-view is the following Sunday after we record this, but it'll be it'll be right around when you hear this.
However, since you're now listening to this after the pay-per-view, we all know that Alexander Rusev did win at the pay-per-view. Sorry, that's the only prediction I'm comfortable making.
Interesting. All right. Well, that takes care of that. So, again, email us at afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. And then, of course, we'll continue to plug in, you know, and check in on the other wrestling podcast. And hopefully we'll have a name to plug it with. So
we'll have a name. I'll have a name.
Yes. And, of course, don't forget, we also have the Social Link podcast with me and Anthony. So until next week, we'll see you guys later.
Bye.